This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the best things about America is our creativity and our diversity and the generation of ideas and the number of cool concepts we come up with. And I know that's not unique to our society, but because we are a melting pot of sorts and because we are a cross section of the globe where we have people of all cultures and ethnicities, every background, every color, it's truly the diversity, I think, that brings out the best in us. And I know these last few weeks, there's been less a celebration of diversity and more the angst over our differences. But I do believe that's one of the best things about the United States of America is that we're not all the same. It is a nation full of every color under the rainbow, every language, every culture. We've, of course, talked about how much food and the variety of food we have here in the country. But on this final show before July 4th, and I know it's already a holiday weekend for many of you, which is cool. But on this final show before Independence Day, as I'm trying to come up with ways for us to highlight the neat, cool, awesome, amazing features of the United States of America, I'm finishing up with the question, really the fill in the blank. The best thing about America is what? We've got a great GIF up on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also, a neat photo that producer Chris found on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, that I can't wait to hear some of your responses on the phones as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line is sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4CBS. The best thing about America is what? And I like your answers already. So we'll get to some of those as we head through this hour of the show here on CBS Sports Radio. So a couple of funny stories about Thursday. Gosh, I've said to you all along that, especially since the move, I don't even know where my makeup is, right? I have no clue. The last time I even wore makeup, it's been at least 3 months, and it's fine. I don't miss it. I don't care. Really, the only makeup I ever wore were the mascara and the eyeliner because I have blonde hair and light hair, and so it looks like I have no eyelashes if I don't wear mascara. But I've gotten used to not wearing it. I mean, I've even posted photos on social media, and I don't even care. I don't even look. I don't even notice anymore. It's just that's what my face looks like. So there it is. But I mean, I don't know. I guess you take me back 6 months ago and I probably wouldn't have considered posting a photo on social media without mascara at least, but now it's just become the norm. Anyway, I'm getting ready to go out for my hair appointment and I'm thinking, I don't need to wear makeup. It's just Paul and I'm just going to get my hair done and I'm going to have a mask on the whole time. But because I haven't worn it in such a long time, I thought this will be fun. So I put on a clean shirt. Just kidding. I wear a clean shirt every day, I swear. So I got dressed. I wore a nice pair of shorts and I decided to find my makeup bag. Find that I did, dug it out, eyeliner, mascara. I put it on my face, and it looked weird. I look so odd with makeup on my face. Like I said, it's been more than 3 months since I had it on, and it just looked odd. not quite raccoonish, but definitely different. And so, yeah, whatever. I still wore it, and by the time I got home, I had gotten used to it. You know, if for those of you who go and get your hair done in a salon, you're usually staring into a mirror the whole time. And I was sitting in front of a mirror for the better part of not quite 2 hours, but pretty close. My guy, Paul, he was going back and forth between me and someone else, you know, limited capacity and limited numbers of people who are working at the same time. So I was sitting there for a while with the highlight, well, they're pieces of tinfoil. I look like I have a huge antenna attached to my head. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, I got used to the mascara the more I looked in the mirror, but it was kind of funny. That was my reaction to putting on makeup for the first time in 3 months. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So I get home, make some food, got some chores to do, right? And we've had, oh gosh, we've had very little rain over the past 3 weeks, at least in my corner of the world. In fact, a lot of the lawns in the neighborhood are just brown already. Now, I'm not a person who waters the lawn. I don't mind if people do. In fact, earlier this week, I was telling you when I did the show with my door open, it's too humid to do that tonight, but I did the show with my door open. I could hear the sprinklers kick on next door. I knew exactly when they're going to kick on now every night. But I don't generally water my lawn. I mean, if it burns up, it burns up. But I mean, it's, you know, I feel like, to me anyway, that's a waste of water. So I don't water the lawn, but I do water the flowers. And I bought this yard full of flowers and flower beds, and I've been so blessed by them. Roses and peonies and flowers I don't even know the names of. I think we might have some lavender in the big flower bed. It's actually more like a fire pit that's been turned into a flower bed. My lilies are just starting to open. In fact, I don't even know what color they are. We've got one that's orange out on the driveway, which is amazing since orange is my favorite color. But I have two huge boxes, like big flower boxes full of lilies in the back. And there are, oh my gosh, dozens of buds, but none of them have opened up yet. And so I don't know what color they are. Anyway, a huge hydrangea bush that's purple and blue. So pretty. I posted a photo of that on Twitter. I guess it was 2 days ago. So the flowers are great, but they do need to be watered. So I was left a hose by the owners who sold me this house. And I've told you about how bad it was inside. Outside has been really nice. In fact, the first 3 days or 4 days of owning this home, I think I liked the outside better than the inside. And maybe I still do. Clearly, they took better care of the outside than they did of the inside. So I love this hose that they gave me. And I put this high-powered nozzle on it. I mean, this thing is high-tech. I don't know where I bought it. I found it amongst my stuff, and I put it on the hose. And so I can drag this hose all, it's a long hose, so I can drag it all the way around the house from the backyard through the fence up into the front yard. And so I either water the flowers first thing in the morning or I water them just before the sun goes down. So I'm out there dousing the flowers, making them happy. I drag the hose all over the yard, and Penny's not a huge fan of the hose, so she kind of stays out of reach, out of range. So I get done, and I water now my flowers that are in the pots on my patio. I've got a fern, a Boston fern. I've got a huge palm plant that I can't even move anymore. It's so big. It's growing right out of the pot. I don't even know what to do with it. I've transplanted it so many times that I've come to figure out there really is no pot large enough to hold this palm. And I've got a citronella, I've got a geranium, and I've got a basil plant. So I finish watering the ones that are on the patio, and I throw the hose, or I drop the hose. I didn't throw it, but I drop the hose. This is something only I can do, or do this well. I drop the hose. It lands directly on the handle to the nozzle. And somehow, instead of just bouncing off the handle and falling over on its side, it stays straight up in the air. So it falls on the handle of the nozzle. The nozzle, or the handle, of course, constricts. So it tightens up almost as though I'm holding it with my hand because it lands directly on it. And instead of shooting off one spray of water and falling over, it just stays like that. So the handle is compressed and it's smooshed down and it's spraying water all over me. I mean, I was so shocked. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know if all of a sudden the hose sprung a leak. I was so shocked that it took me a good 20 seconds to figure out what the heck was going on and to reach over and turn off the faucet. It was crazy, right? It didn't like bounce and then fall over. And you know, I've seen that before, shoot off a spray of water. No, it like sat there with the almost as though I was holding it and spraying myself directly. Yeah, so that was great. It got all over me, all over my phone, all over the patio, all over everything. My grill, I mean, my grill has a cover on it, but that's how much water I shot off in the air before I could get the hose turned off. So, yeah, that was great. A total klutz, and those types of things tend to happen to me, but now I have to be more careful with the hose. I just couldn't believe that it stayed like that as opposed to falling over, but landed directly on the handle and boom, just water all over. See, what am I talking about? Wasting water on my lawn. I'm wasting water, watering myself. It was one of those moments that I'm really glad there was no video anywhere inside my fence. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Though not quite as funny as what happened when my mom was here. I shouldn't tell you this story. I'll tell you the story anyway. It's a holiday weekend. No one's listening, right? So my mom and I were trying to clean up the flower boxes full of lilies. And so we're pulling out the old, you know, the old brown dead leaves. And the lily boxes are against the fence and they're pretty deep. They're probably 4 feet or so. And you have to kind of, I mean, they're really tall flowers. So you have to lean over to get the, you know, the dead stuff in the back and kind of lean against the fence. And It was quite a reach. So this one time when mom and I were out there, I leaned all the way over. I put my hand up against the fence and I'm kind of leaning down. So I'm not quite doing a yoga pose, but I mean, I wasn't completely, bent in half, but I was definitely bent all the way over. And my hand is actually above my head, right? So I'm pulling and I've got a hands full of these dead lilies and I give myself a shove off the fence to try to get back upright again, but I didn't push hard enough and I only got about halfway up and then my momentum carried me back down and I literally did a face plant in the lilies. My mom laughed so hard I thought she was going to pee her pants. I mean, there was something I could do. I didn't shove hard enough off the fence. I was a little bit worried because the fence, you know, it's got some give to it. And I didn't want to shove it over. And so, so I didn't push hard enough and I ended up doing a face plant in the lilies. It was funny. It was like I pushed and I got halfway up. And then I guess if I was some superstar athlete, my abs would have kicked in and I would have been able to pull myself up. But nope, it didn't happen. Instead, all of a sudden, gravity got the best of me and boom, I landed face down in the lilies with my butt up in the air. And instead of helping me up, my mother is laughing at me. Great, mom. Thanks so much. I'm sure nobody else has these types of stories in your yard with your flowers and your gardens, right? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What is the best thing about America? We're asking you to fill in the blanks. It's cool to see so many of you say freedom, because that's definitely one of my answers as well. And I said creativity to start the hour. And I'm thankful for the diversity we have in this country. But certainly the freedom that we have here is something I will never take for granted, especially not after spending more than a month collectively, accumulatively in Cuba over the past several years. And they don't have they don't have the ability to get a job and get ahead. It's not a capitalist economy, capitalist society. Doesn't really matter what they do. The government is always going to oppress them. So they have jobs, and most of the jobs are mandated by the government. Now, some of them have smaller private businesses, but for the most part, you work for the government. Unless you can find a job where, you know, you have someone that you trust that you work with or that you work for, and you can kind of do it on the sly and the government doesn't find out. But for the most part, the government controls all the industries, the entire economy, and you don't really have a salary, and you certainly don't get raises. What you have is a stipend. What you have is rations. What you have is money per head. So this is the way the government controls the people. Every person in your household is worth a certain amount of money. But you can't excel at your job and get a promotion. You can't excel at your job and get a huge raise and start to put money away. You can't advance to the point we can here in the United States. And while there are some guys who will use baseball or other, baseball is really the big sport there in Cuba. They'll use baseball as an escape. And there are times when, if let's say you you happen to be a musician or you sing, where Cuba will send singing troops off the island to tour other parts of the world. They're big on education in Cuba. And so every now and then they'll let people leave the United States or leave to go to the United States or other parts of the world for continuing education. And they do educate their people. But it's always then your obligation to the government. And right now they have a massive food shortage, again, because people aren't in business for themselves or their families. They're in business for the government. A massive food shortage. The quality of the markets and the schools and the hospitals, it's terrible. Not hygienic, not clean. Sometimes they don't have air conditioning. The kids don't get food at school. They're under a bit of a quarantine now, but it's making it even worse where people are sleeping out on the streets for days to wait for the markets to open so that they can try to buy food for their families. And then all the food, it's poor quality and it's gone within minutes. And all those people that slept outside for days, they end up with nothing. It's just, it's a really sad state of affairs. And, you know, I keep in touch with my family, my Cuban family, and pray for them all the time. And whenever we do go, we take suitcases full of supplies. We take, one year I took 50 pounds of basic meds, Tylenol, stomach meds, vitamins. They don't have access to vitamins. Diapers. I've taken 100 pounds of diapers before because they don't know when diapers are going to be in the stores. And when they are, they're gone within minutes. I mean, it's just a different type of oppression. And I know we use that word here in the United States, but until you've spent time in a third world country, your perspective may not be the same as mine about oppression in a communist government. And so I'm really thankful for our freedom. I know that we abuse it sometimes as Americans, right? We have a freedom that protects poor choices or choices that we don't agree with. But I would rather have freedom that protects bad choices than have no freedom at all. No freedom of speech, no freedom to leave, no freedom to choose a career, do what you love, take care of your family, no freedom to get ahead, no freedom to advance, no freedom to save money. I mean, it's something that I will never take for granted. After spending time in Mozambique, which is the 8th poorest country in the world, after spending time in Cuba, after spending time in Ecuador, up in the Andes Mountains, where they live in little shanties that are built into the side of the mountain, and the kids will go crazy for a soccer ball, which was really cool to take to them. So yeah, I'm so grateful for the last 10 years and the trips that I've taken outside the United States that have really opened my eyes and reminded me to never, ever, ever take for granted the freedoms that we have, the liberties that we have here in the United States of America. So I love how many of you are responding with the one word, with freedom. The best part about America is...
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The best thing about America is what? Fill in the blank. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We've also got Twitter, After Hours CBS, and producer Chris is retweeting your answers, your serious answers. And then on our Facebook page, many of you also read the comments of other people, which I think is cool. And a lot of you will comment. It's kind of fun when someone posts about a neat moment in their lives. I think it was a couple days ago, a man shared a picture of his grandson, his baby grandson. And now and then someone will write about how, hey, we, you know, survived a battle with cancer, or I just got out of the hospital after such and such, or I just accomplished this or that. And as much as I do rail on social media, and I do largely hate it, I would say 98% of it is crap. There is some sense of community every now and then on our Facebook page, as long as we don't put up anything that you deem controversial. But yeah, I do like that many of you support one another, which is kind of fun. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and I just got the dreaded blue screen of death on my laptop, so I had to restart it. That is not one of the best parts about America, or really best parts about being a laptop owner. Mine is, let's see, probably about 5 years old, I think now. I got it. Yeah, I would say I got it in late summer of 2015. So it's nearly 5 years old, and it may soon be time for another one. But it doesn't give me too much trouble still. It's, I need to be upgrading because I don't have Windows 10 or anything like that. I'm stuck in the Stone Ages. And I think I end up with some quirky, I don't think it's a virus, just some quirkiness now and then, some stubbornness from my laptop. So I'll reboot here and get back to looking at your social media on both Twitter and Facebook. And as I say, 855-212-4227. When I was on vacation last week, I saw the mandate by Rob Manfred about 60-game season, and this is when we're going to start, and this is how you're going to show up. And of course, baseball had been working out its health and safety protocols. And I tweeted, this is last week, even while I was on vacation, that I was trying to feel something for baseball. I really was. I was trying to generate some emotion, excitement, anticipation, enthusiasm, and I really felt none of those things. Now, part of it may have been that I was much more focused on my family being here and trying to clean and unpack in the new house, but I think still, even as I think about baseball returning, I'm not that excited about it. You would think that as a sports talk radio host and someone who covers sports for a living, that I would be running a countdown to the first baseball games. But I'm actually not. And I keep waiting for that excitement to permeate my emotions. And, oh, yeah, I can't wait. But I just haven't felt it yet. Maybe by the time it gets closer, I will. And I appreciate what Jeff Blum said to us in the first hour about, you know, being able to identify with those players who didn't want to give an inch of negotiations, that it's as much about the big picture and the CBA and the long-term deal that they'll have to eat. But I still feel like in 2020, that should have taken a back seat. And I still think the negotiations were ugly, contemptuous. They were antagonistic and they were worthless. And even if I was going to start to put that on the, you know, behind me in the rearview mirror and look forward to the start of the game, then we get these comments from Rob Manfred. Seems like every day he says something that that hoses down my excitement. Ha ha. Remember Wednesday on the Dan Patrick radio show, he said, the reality is we were never going to play more than 60 games. Actually, Dave, if you want to go back and grab that soundbite, we could remind people what he was saying. We were never going to play more than 60 games. Then what the heck were the point of all the proposals that went back and forth? If we were never going to have more than 60 games, if that was the reality, then why bother? Why not just mandate a 60-game season? If that's where we were at all the time. And then the more he talks, the more I deem him just a life of the party. He's a freaking ray of sunshine all the time. His latest thing is that baseball will be lucky to complete a 60-game season. Okay, so he's trying to clarify and maybe backtrack a little bit on what he said to Dan Patrick. And his way of clarifying it is to say, well, really, it's about the virus and us playing too deep into the fall, and that it's not about the negotiating process being disingenuous. It's about the season not being able to stretch past 60 games and stretch past September because there is likely to be a second wave of the virus. Now, I get what the scientists are saying. I get that the predictions are out there, but we don't know any of that. No one knows for sure. It's been a whole lot of guessing since the pandemic became a reality here in the United States. No one knows for sure. But it's like Rob Manfred just keeps digging this grave even deeper. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games. But now trying to clarify that by saying we couldn't have started any earlier. We can't go any later. So that's really what I meant. We're constricted by the virus, and that's why we weren't going to play more than 60 games. I don't know about you. That doesn't really make me feel any better. Again, zip it. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's not like he's saying anything wrong, but I still get this sense of tone deaf. I still get this sense of you're so out of touch with what's happening right now. What is the point of saying that? Again, it comes across like it was a total waste of time to negotiate in the first place. So then why not? Why not go back to, I don't know, June, early June, and just mandate a 60-game season instead of dragging baseball fans through this very public, ugly negotiating process? Not to mention the damage it did to the relationship between the union and the owners themselves. Seriously, what a waste of time. So yes, Rob Manfred, life of the party, ray of sunshine everywhere he goes. And we'll let you hear that 60-game comment coming up, even though he's trying to clarify it now. I don't know that he made it much better in his circle back to USA Today. I'm trying to feel something for you, baseball, but it's not happening yet. And I blame you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Whatever Commissioner Rob Manfred meant by that, and he swears it was about the virus and the constrictions, the fact that the pandemic hasn't died down enough and is not under control enough that baseball could have started any earlier, and that he expects, other experts expect, that it's going to be just as bad come September or October, if not worse. Who knows? I think it's so much of the predicting and the guesswork that people get frustrated with, because we don't actually know. However, it's good to be prepared. But Rob Manfred is saying that's what he meant by the reality of only 60 games in this 2020 baseball season. I don't really care what he meant. I just don't think it's necessary to say it. On the Dan Patrick Show, he makes that comment. And once again, I go right back into that place where I can't feel any type of excitement yet for baseball's return. It was a complete and total charade to go through all those proposals then. 114 games, 82 games, yada, 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 75 games. Back and forth they went. Owners to players, players to owners. Why not just come out and say 60 games is the most we're going to be able to manage? We're worried about not finishing the regular season in time to get the playoffs on the field. That's where we make our money. 60 games it is. Great. Done. Easy enough. In fact, I feel like baseball would have earned a little more sympathy, a little more empathy, a little more of our understanding and our appreciation. And I know I can only definitively speak for me, but I feel like we would have been more understanding, or we would have been more able to understand a 60-game season and the delay to its start if the commissioner said this all along. Well, reality is we probably don't have time for more than 60 games. We probably don't have time because we have to get the end of the regular season done by September. And we don't think we can safely start until this date. I mean, I wasn't thrilled when basketball and hockey said they weren't likely to start before the end of July. Remember, this is going back to mid-June. Well, actually, both the NHL and the NBA released their return to play plans in early June. And I thought, oh, are you kidding me? We have to wait that long? Why? But I was able to accept it because I felt like they were being upfront with us about the time it would take for guys to get back in game shape, to be tested, to be clean of the virus, to get into their markets or into Orlando, and then to move forward and be ready to play games that count. But baseball didn't say any of that. And so here we are. And maybe I'm alone on my island in feeling blasé, feeling duped by baseball, but I'm still there. I believe when the games begin, I'll get excited about it. It'll be so cool to see live sporting events, team sports, just as much as I've celebrated the return of golf, NASCAR, even UFC, though I don't watch it. The NWSL, which is women's professional soccer here in the United States. It's been cool to have these games and these athletes back in their respective sports and working again. And I'm sure I'll feel that same excitement or some of that excitement for baseball. But I'm not there yet. Maybe if Rob Manfred would stop talking, I would get there quicker. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Fill in the blank. The best thing about the United States of America is what? Let's go to our Facebook page. Scott believes it's The View. And he doesn't mean the TV show. That's not the best thing about the United States of America. Oh, man, we'd be in dire straits if it was. Although I do admire many of the ladies that have worked on the show in the past. Mountains, rivers, oceans, plains, and most of all, our neighbors. Oh, I don't know, man. I think I'd rather take the mountains and the oceans than the neighbors. However, I do appreciate your perspective. Sometimes I don't really like people. I'd prefer the mountains and the oceans to the people. But that's a cool sentiment. The view that gives us mountains, rivers, oceans, plains, most of all our neighbors. Let's see. Michael on Facebook. The number one comment is freedom. Yes, freedom is free. Okay. I don't know what that means. But anyway, yes, freedom. Freedom is definitely the number one comment. Lynn on Facebook says opportunity. That's cool. It's a good answer. Lane, the American dream. Nothing is more beautiful or more powerful. Well, the American dream is kind of what I was talking about to start the hour, as I was referencing the contrast between here and Cuba, which is a communist country. There is no dream where you get ahead, where you work really hard, you get a promotion, you get a raise, you strike it rich. I mean, that's not a reality in many other countries. And it is a reason why so many people from other countries want to come to the United States. So Lane points to the American dream. Linda says freedom and land of opportunity. Happy July 4th, everyone. I do love the USA flag emoji, the American flag emoji. That's awesome. I'll be using it a lot over the next couple of days. In fact, I used it just a little while ago on Twitter. Eric says determination, pride, and the harder you try, the further you can go, the further you can succeed. And then we have Matt, who brings us right down to earth again. Food. Matt says food, the best thing about America. Susan on Facebook, when the world is at its worst, America is at its best. I like that. I do like that. I mean, we don't always get it right the first time. Sometimes as a nation, we go around that mountain over and over and over again. But we tend not to give up, which I also appreciate about us. Matt says freedom of speech. Hear, hear. I wouldn't have my job if we didn't have freedom of speech. Although freedom of speech in the Constitution, it protects speaking out against the government. That's really where the freedom of speech came from. And again, I'll use the communist model as the contrast. They are not allowed to speak out against their government. In communist countries, you can get arrested, you can get thrown in jail, you can get killed for speaking out against your government. And I'll throw in there the freedom of press as well, because again, in some nations around the world, they don't even get real news. Their news is fake all the time. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. Yeah, I mean, it's state-run TV in Cuba. They have maybe three or four channels, and it's what the government allows them to see or what the government wants them to see. It's just so different. Not that I spent a lot of time watching TV in Cuba, but it's so, so different than what we have access to here. Estuardo on Facebook, I don't care what people say. Freedom is the most beautiful thing in this country. I would agree. Even when freedom protects bad choices, I would agree. Freedom. Let's see. Joan, the beautiful scenery from mountains, plains, deserts, forests, lakes, oceans, and the freedom to travel wherever we want in the USA. Yes, I agree with that. In fact, I keep coming back to that. I've got friends who are in the States now where they're seeing spikes in the virus numbers. And so they worry about traveling from state to state. Earlier in the spring, that was me in New Jersey worrying about traveling to another state. And what would they try to do if they saw my New Jersey license plate, law enforcement, or, you know, other people? Would they be upset, assuming I was bringing the virus in a vial into their state? But there is no way legally that you can prevent Americans from moving around the United States of America. In fact, those types of quarantine orders are not even enforceable, according to my law enforcement friends. I love the fact that we have open borders here in the United States and that we can go anywhere we want and have the same freedoms as Americans. And there's a pride to that for me when I travel. And I'm proud to be American both inside our borders and out. Sean on Facebook says diversity, which is great. Talked about that a little while ago. Dawn says resiliency and diversity and adaptability. We constantly overcome. Michael says freedom. Justin, it's in a time of hardship, we all come together. That is so true. I wish we showed that same community, sense of community all the time. We don't. At times we need to be reminded to help our fellow man. But man, when we see people in dire straits, when we recognize that people are hurting and that we have a way to help them, very often you will see Americans show up, whether it's financially, whether it's physically in person. I do love that about us. And really, that's the human race, is that in a time of hardship, we have compassion for our fellow man, and we do come together, as Justin says. Brian on Facebook, the music and the national parks. That's awesome. And Lorenzo, the freedom to wake up every day. The best thing about America, as we celebrate our nation's birthday, a birthday unlike any other, coming up on Saturday. You can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. Halfway through the show, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.